Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Tristan Nunez, driver of the 7-0 Skyactiv Mazda prototype, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the May the 4th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 108 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight, Molly and myself are the past weekend of racing and chat about whatever other exciting news the modern motorsports pops into the conversation. So how are you doing this?
I'm good. It's just really hot, so I feel like I'm dying of heat over here.
It's horrible. It's always hot down here.
Yes, yeah, so you're probably used to it.
Not bad this past week. Yeah, it hadn't gotten above 90, I don't think, this week yet, so spring day. Anyway, did you see that your buddy Joey Logano had a pretty good weekend this weekend? They took his win away from him, basically, today.
Yeah, I saw that, and I don't know, I guess it happened.
Yeah. This is a win, but it's one of those wins that's got a big asterisk now. Getting points for it, he lost. He dropped further back standings, and it won't count towards the chase in the championship.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all you can say about that. It's kind of an interesting thing. It doesn't happen all the time, but NASCAR is definitely cracking down on that sort of thing now, so. Also, another interesting NASCAR-type news this week. It seems like NASCAR is really down on their copyright as well. Got a bunch of sites on Facebook that have the word NASCAR in them in one way or another and aren't licensed sites. So that's kind of an interesting thing. As some of you probably know, I did a little bit of work for NASCAR of Zone before I took on this stuff here on Speedway Digest, and some a little bit right at the beginning of when I was working here at Speedway Digest. So kind of a sad thing to see that happen, but it's really not totally unexpected. And the same telegrams that weren't directly presented by NASCAR a couple of years ago. There's the shows like this in NASCAR, named Raceline, which does a lot of NASCAR things. They actually have NASCAR Raceline in the title. No longer has that in the title as well. So it's kind of an interesting thing, and it's really a neither good nor bad thing. It's all to be expected, and people who had the NASCAR in their names, they're just getting a wake-up call now. Some of the sites are going to be one of them here, but we wish all the people good luck. It's a hard deal having an online site, as we know here from Speedway Digest, as well as I know from the Palm Beach Happening thing. So we wish everybody good luck. Hopefully they soon. And this week, the cars of NASCAR will be heading back to Alabama, to Talladega. Hopefully the weather there improves significantly. I know that they're having quite a bit of rain there today. And it seems like every goes to a city lately, they go and they bring the rain. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it's a good weekend of racing. Talladega is always fun, to say the least. So we'll see. Who's your pick to win Talladega this week?
I don't know. I haven't really been spot on with my pick. But, I don't know. That's a tough one. Who's your pick?
Well, it's been a while since we've had the technical grounds happening here at the Thursday Night Thunder. Tonight apparently is one of those nights, so hopefully that was our only time we're going to be disconnected this evening. Got my fingers crossed, knocking on fake wood table and all that. So let's go. Let's say that with let's go with Clint Bowyer to win this weekend in Talladega. I know he's had some really good luck there in the past. He's had some really crappy luck as well. So let's see how that goes.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Well, before we have any other issues, let's go ahead and move on to our guest this evening. Our guest this evening is Brad C. Cycle racer turned auto racer. With love for motorcycles, he found himself purchasing a 1989 Suzuki RM125. Shortly after, he signed up for a motorcycle oval race. That first race left him with two different things, a first place finish and addiction he didn't have to overcome. Oval dirt track racing became his family and his life. He raced motorcycles from 1991 to 2007 and retired with nothing but respect and love for the sport that would last forever. In 2013, he purchased a dirt modified car and went to his first race. It was the greatest thing ever, the smell of race fuel, the adrenaline, and the competition. Every bit of it was breathtaking. He finished the season with almost 3 under his belt. He was short of a few points for National Rookie of the Year award, but ended up second overall. He was able to get another 60 races in 2015 and was happy with his progress. Every year so far, he's averaged about 60 races, and it's giving him another year of knowledge to pursue his dream of racing. Stand by for 1 second while we go ahead and give Brad Seaver a call.
Please enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
Hello, this is Brad.
Hey, Brad, this is Adam Sinclair with Thursday Night Thunder. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, awesome. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
First off,
good.
Can you tell us a little bit about your race to recovery and your struggles with the world?
Yeah. About 26 years ago, found myself in a really, really tough place in my life and was going down the wrong path. And I found racing to be that tool to really direct me and focus me into the path that I really need to be going on.
I know you've raced in two totally different disciplines, in the motorcycles and in the modifieds now. What do each have in common,
yep,
and what are the major differences?
You know, the differences, the car stuff, the off-road stuff also is a lot. It's a lot more safe. Typically in the motorcycle stuff, you know, when you put a motorcycle down, you're usually going for an ambulance ride. And, you know, in 2007, I couldn't do it no more. I broke my neck, my back, my shoulder blades, my hip, and, I was paralyzed for a short time. And, you know, thank God for good surgeons and doctors, and I was able to walk out of the hospital.
That's good. I know modified racing seems to be getting more and more popular all the time. Are there any NASCAR races on the horizon for you?
You know, we actually run the NASCAR Wheeling Series, which is a dirt series. But, I'm really not sure about that. It all depends on where things go. We were supposed to be in a winged sprint car this season, and it didn't quite work out, and I was offered to run a Pro Mod UTV for the Torque Series, the off-road truck series. So we're actually racing in Chicago next Saturday and Sunday. So it'd
awesome.
Be my first time racing, so I'm very excited about it, and so far everything's going really good with that.
Do you think you're going to try and parlay that into maybe something in the Robbie Gordon Stadium Super Truck Series?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Actually, I know Robbie Gordon. I've talked to him a few times, and I'm a huge fan of RJ Anderson. He's an off-road truck, just spectacular driver, and I've known him since he was 12 years old, and he's just a phenomenal driver. And so I got to work on his team for a few years, and so I do understand the off-road truck stuff, but to actually be driving in one is definitely going to be a little different, for sure. You know, and with my drug and alcohol problem that I had when I was younger, you know, the racing community, whether it's dirt track ovals or asphalt or off-road truck or motorcycles, that they all have that common denominator. They're very focused and very supportive. And, you know, and that's really important to me. So,
which driver has been most supportive in your career? Which professional driver?
You know, I would have to say, oh boy, there's a little bit of a list there, but I guess who I would look up to most would be Tim Bender. You know, he used to race the Busch Series, and he gave me a job about 14 years ago, and I got to learn a lot from him on the racing side of things, on the race team, how to be a manager, what things you need. So I'd have to say, you know, working with him, and I continue to work with him in the winter. He's probably my biggest mentor, I'd have to say. And then second on that list would have to be Dave Marcus. You know, he doesn't live, he's got a restaurant very close to where I live, and he stops by my shop all the time and tells me stories and the struggles that they had as a race team and how they overcame them. So, yeah, so I do have some really good supporters out there.
That's awesome. And what's your ultimate racing goal?
My ultimate racing goal would be able to race full time, you know, 12 months out of the year, whether it be, you know, wing sprint cars or dirt modified or off-road truck. And then to be able to spread the news about what Sievers Racing is all about. You know, we're all about making a difference in your life, no matter, you know, if you think it's too late, if you have a drug and alcohol problem, or you just want to chase that dream, that you can do it. And, you know, your listeners can go to SieversRacing.com, check out my story. It's pretty lengthy, but it does really show from the time I was very little to current time right now, and what I've went through and the struggles I've had and how I've been able to overcome them and inspire other people. And yeah, so that would be the, you know, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm racing, it wouldn't bother me what it's in, you know?
Yeah, I went to your website. That's pretty awesome. I love the way it's set up. It's a really interactive site. It has lots of information, so it's a pretty great resource to have, and it's
Hello? Yep, I can hear you now. Or maybe I can't.
Well, let me talk to my co-host as well.
So what has been your greatest racing achievement so far?
My greatest racing achievement so far would have to be a few years after my 2007 accident. I jumped into a dirt modified, and I won my first feature just a couple months after I got into one in 2014. And I was told that it typically takes 3 to 5 years to win your first feature, and I did it in 2.5 months. And to have that victory flag and to be standing in front of that crowd is a feeling I never thought I would ever feel after my accident. So I'd have to say that's probably my biggest achievement, is coming back from that accident and being able to feel that feeling of victory all over again.
And I know you kind of touched a little bit on when you drove rode motorcycles to when you started driving race cars. So is it, for you anyway, like a whole different adrenaline rush driving a race car than it is riding a motorcycle?
You know, not really. I mean, on a motorcycle, if you bump into somebody, I mean, typically it's bad news. In a race car, you can have the adrenaline without being worried about making a mistake to hurt someone else. You know, within reason, obviously, because we can get hurt in a race car as well. But I think there's just more drive there to put it to the front. You're going to take a few more risks than you normally would on a motorcycle to be able to put it to the front. So the adrenaline rush is the same for me. I mean, put the pedal to the metal and let her burn, and I love every bit of it.
So what inspired, when you were on a motorcycle, did you just go to a race one day and was like, oh, you know, I think I want to try driving a race car? Or, like, what inspired your switch to go from motorcycle to race car?
Well, I did retire motorcycle race in 07, and I never thought I'd race again. And I was missing something in my life, and I was headed out to Reno, Nevada to help out pro off-road truck racer RJ Anderson. And I had a half a day to kill because I wasn't flying out to the morning from the airport. So I decided to go down to the local dirt track. And someone let me race their car in a mechanics race. And that was it. Before I was even done with the last lap, I was addicted again. I needed to. Within a week, I had a race car bought, a semi, a trailer, tools. In the fall of 2014, or in the spring of 2014, I started racing full time.
And you said that in your career, your racing career, you would like to be able to race 12 months out of the year. Do you want to, like, continue racing? How do I word this? Like, what you are now and, like, modifieds and stuff? Or do you want to eventually work your way up to the, like, top, like, higher levels? Or are you perfectly fine where you are now?
You know, there's always a goal is to move up. And typically I started racing a B mod my first year and a half. And then I went to an A mod. And then I drove a sprint car. And now I'm doing some off-road truck stuff. So when I get to a point where I can start finishing third, fourth, fifth, and winning some features, in my personal feelings is I like to move up. Once I'm pretty dominant in top five, you know, top three, every night I go out, then that's time for me to move up. And that's what I've been doing at a pretty rapid rate. And now we're starting something completely new, but I really do have that drive where I'm going to work as hard as I can. And once I become, you know, a top runner in the Pro Mod UTV, my next step would be either a Pro Light truck in the Torque Series, or it would be a Pro 2 truck in the Torque Series. So I do have pretty big goals, and I keep going up until I get to a point where I plateau. And then at that point, that's probably where I'll stay.
Okay. Well, my final question for you this evening is, I mean, if you have the opportunity to drive any racing vehicle in the world, whether it be a UTV like you've talked about, or, you know, a pavement car, or like a drift car, what would be that vehicle that you would want to drive the most?
I would have to say it'd be a wing sprint car. You know, those things are 900 to 1,000 horsepower. They weigh 1,300 pounds, and I give those drivers probably some of the biggest kudos for it, because it takes a heck of a person, male or female, to drive one of those. And I think that's where I would really like to be. Whether or not that'll ever happen, you know, is another thing. But, you know, those things crank out at 140 miles an hour and a half-mile track, and they're unbelievable.
Well, we thank you for coming on the program tonight, and we wish you luck with the racing that you choose to do from here on out.
Well, I thank you very much. I just want to let everybody know that check out my story and all the wonderful things I do to help people with their drug and alcohol problem and things that they've done. They can go to SeversRacing.com. They can follow me at Brad Severs Racing on Facebook, Severs Racing on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm definitely here to help. We do a lot of charity work, help inspire young people to follow the right path. And I use racing as a huge tool for that, and we have plenty of opportunities for marketing partners to come on board, give us a hand with it, and be part of such an awesome thing.
All right. Well, you know, good luck with all of that, and have a great night.
Thank you very much for your time, and you guys have yourself a wonderful evening as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you a race car driver, crew chief, pit member, track owner, or maybe you're just a huge fan of the sport? Contact either myself or Adam Sinclair to get your spot on the show. After all, you deserve your 15 minutes of fame, and we would love to hear from you. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. We also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about your slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeach.happeningmag.com. We thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again May 18th in the Thunderdome as we once again discuss the major issues in the world of modern auto racing.